Thank you so much. Well, in every song and in the prophetic words and in the messages for individual people, there were so many things that I think will be echoed in some way during our message today. So I pray that those of you who didn't have special words will now find that by the Holy Spirit there's something special for you. First of all, I'd just like to say one more notice, if I may put it in. We've been singing about hope, and I'd just like to say that the journey of hope includes, for many of us, the establishing of a Christian school in Wellington, Tumanako Christian College, and we're having a meeting about that on, not this Monday, but the next, 18th, here at CV, 7:30. If you'd like to come along, find out how that journey is going, we'd love to have you. Because God, you know, he's a covenant-keeping God, and he's, as we've been singing and sharing, he's faithful to his promises. Remember, he promised a land and a nation to Abraham, and then they went into slavery, and they had that terrible 400 years of darkness and misery. And then the day came when Moses announced to Pharaoh, "Let my people go so that they may worship me." And we went through a lot of what was happening at that time with our children last week, which was an amazing, lively service. And it was good to see how far on the children are. They're really learning this stuff. And I've just been out the back and looked at the tabernacle they've been constructing, and you can have a double check. I think there's probably done a better job of theirs than the one in our video, but never mind, we'll do our best. There are so many chapters devoted to the construction and the contents of the tabernacle and later the temple. They have to be really important, so we don't apologize for focusing on the tabernacle, especially this morning, and I'm just taking four headings. The first one is the word precious. You know, the amazing thing was that those slaves left Egypt laden with wealth. Silver, gold, precious stones, every sort of jewel and gem given to them by the people of Egypt in their awe. By then, they were really so respectful of Moses that when the people said, "May we have gifts," they showered them with amazing gifts. And now the Lord said to Moses, "From these gifts, let the people choose offerings for the establishment of my house, my tabernacle." They didn't have to give it. And I was just reflecting and thinking, they'd been slaves. This was amazing stuff. They've never owned anything. And now they own gold and silver and jewels. And God is saying, "Do you want to give them to me?" They didn't have to. It was to be a free will offering. And it's amazing. It says more than once in Exodus that the people gave freely. They gave joyfully. They gave so much that in the end, the people responsible said, "Oh, tell the people to stop. We've got too much." Lovely problem. How about that? The pastor saying, "We're way over our budget. Keep it. Yay, I look for the day. Well, the materials of the temple were to be lavish, costly, and beautiful. The kind of material you associate with a palace. Because in fact, I see the tabernacle as a kind of palace for the Lord God, King of the universe. That's why everything had to be the best. And it was most beautifully made. He selected the two best craftsmen, Bezalel and Aholiab. They were then anointed further with the Holy Spirit so that their skillful work would be an offering worthy of God's holy house. It specifically mentions women a number of times. I'm a woman, so I'll focus on this. The women had bronze mirrors in those days, not glass, and they gave their bronze mirrors, which were used in the building of this huge laver or basin that the priests would wash in before they conducted any of their work in the temple area. Men and women alike were involved in the project, and it refers to the skillful work of women weaving wool and linen and doing the gold, purple and scarlet and blue embroidery work in the temple curtains. Just this word reminds me of what we were singing, in fact, about how we have been woven in the secret place. God made each one of us beautifully. We're hearing about Caleb with ribs of gold. Precious and beautiful is his creation. The second P is the word patterned. Every detail of the tabernacle was to be patterned according to what Moses was told on the holy mountain. Every detail. Paul describes the structure, whether it was Paul or somebody else, in Hebrews chapter 8, verse 6. He describes it as a copy and shadow of what was in heaven. And so that's why Moses was warned he had to make everything exactly as he was shown in the pattern on the mountain. And when Solomon came to build his temple later in Jerusalem, the same basic structure was maintained. It was twice the size and everything was on a big, big scale and very, very extravagantly made. But the essential pattern was the same as the pattern of Moses' tabernacle in the wilderness. And even when Herod came along, he was superstitious enough, I hesitate to say worshipful, to make sure that he didn't alter that basic pattern of the temple, although he did extend it hugely on every side and built, as you probably know, those courtyards. There was a courtyard for women, probably an upper gallery, a courtyard for men, a courtyard for the priests, and a courtyard for Gentiles. No evidence of these divisions, by the way, in the tabernacle in the wilderness, that or anywhere, in fact, in the Old Testament. They're only mentioned in the New. And I think that probably was part of what Paul was referring to when he talked about the wall of hostility being broken down. Remember when Paul himself was nearly killed, he was taking an Ephesian Christian into the temple, in fact, just into the courtyard area, probably into the court of the Gentiles, but the rumor went round that he was in the temple and they almost killed Paul. They were so angry. Remember when Jesus cleansed the temple and drove out the money changers? That would have been in that outer courtyard area. And remember how angry he was, and he said, "My house should be called a house of prayer for all nations." And I think that he was teaching at or very near the court of the Gentiles to make sure everybody heard him. He was certainly in the courtyard area. The third P, portable. The structure was carefully designed to be very portable. Everything was able to be pulled apart. The main frames were of wood, easy to carry. The framework was linen or leather, which was very easy to fold up and carry. So whenever the cloud of glory moved, the people could up stakes and move as well. And when the cloud stopped, then again they were able to reestablished the temple according to the precise plans that they've been given. This was how it was ordered by God, that his presence should always be with his people, just as Moses had cried and said to him, "God, if your presence doesn't go with us, don't take us from here." And so God was present with his people and in the cloud. Fourthly, the presence of God, the focus we've had this morning that we have whenever we come into his presence. The way the tabernacle was set up was designed to show the people how to approach holy God. If holy God is to live among his sinful, rebellious, weak people, how are they to approach him? From the time of Eden, some people had longed and feared the holiness of God. Now, the outer perimeter of the tabernacle was marked by a wall or boundary of white linen curtains. White linen all through the Bible speaks of righteous deeds. This is the outer boundary, indicating that nothing evil is supposed to come into the temple area. And it's also the most visible area to outsiders. Jesus said, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven." People who never enter the temple area will see the outward evidence. There's just one way in, and that is by sacrifice, by the shedding of blood. Inside this area, there was first a huge altar. This is where the priests came and offered the people sacrifices. They were supposed never to enter the temple without an offering. And this huge altar would be set up for people, the priest to do the actual offering, but ordinary people brought whatever they could afford. If they were poor, like Mary and Joseph, for instance, later on, they would just bring little pigeons. If they were wealthier, it might be a lamb or a goat. If they were very rich, it would be a bull. And these animals were slaughtered and sacrificed by the priests at the altar in the courtyard as a blood covering for their sin. And there was this big laver that I referred to earlier, which was full of water where the priests were required to wash hands and feet before they did any work. Hands and feet speaking of our deeds and our walk. Beyond, just beyond this laver, beyond the washbowl, as it were, was a curtain leading into the holy place. And we talked 2 weeks ago about what was in the holy place. Three items: the menorah lamp, the table with the bread of the presence, and the altar of incense. The lamps were to be lit continually by the priests, the bread replaced weekly, and the holy frankincense constantly going up, offering sweet savor to God, just in front of the most holy place. All of these we see as symbols of Jesus, the light of the world, the heavenly bread, and the very Lord of heaven, worthy of all our worship. And then beyond the altar of incense is a very heavy, magnificent curtain embroidered with the figures of cherubim. Remember, it was the cherubim who guarded the entrance to the Garden of Eden. And here they are guarding the way into the most holy place. And only once a year, as we were reminded last week, was anybody allowed into that most holy area. The high priest with blood would go in and sprinkle the blood on behalf of all the people for the forgiveness of the sins of the nation. You might remember the story of Esther, queen of the emperor of Persia. She had to prepare for a year with fragrant spices and perfumes for entry into the presence of the most powerful earthly king of those days. And she took her life into her hands when she went to plead for her people. And she said, "If I perish, I perish." The high priest also, of course, was taking his life into his hands, entering into the presence of most holy God. Inside was the golden ark of the covenant, pure gold, shadowed with the two figures of the gold cherubim. And this is translated in various ways, but I like the translation, mercy seat. This was the earthly throne of God. And taking the blood, the high priest would dip his finger, apply it to the mercy seat, and plead for God's mercy on his people. So why this pattern? In a way, it reminds me of the situation on Mount Sinai. Down below, there's all the crowds of people, rather like being in the courtyard, awestruck by the tremendous presence of God, aware of that cloud above them, aware of the rumbling and the roaring and the shaking of the presence of God. And then there were a few, like the 70 elders and Aaron and his two sons, who ventured some way up the mountain. And the text says that they had an encounter with God. They even enjoyed a sacred meal, and they didn't die. But Moses went alone right up into the cloud, into the highest part of the temple, of the mountain, sorry, and there he remained with God for 40 days and nights. So this pattern is a bit like the pattern of the temple. There's the outer courtyard, close enough for most of the people, and then there was the area that only the priests were allowed in, where sacrifice for sin was made. There was the holy place, and beyond that, there was the most holy place, entered only once a year with fear and trembling. Higher and higher, further and further, deeper and deeper. Now we're going to have a visual overview, and after that, we'll move into some worship.
The Lord said to Moses, "Surround the sacred tent with a courtyard 44 meters long on the south and the north and 22 meters wide on the east and west. Use 20 bronze posts on bronze stands for the south and north and 10 for the west. Then hang a curtain of fine linen on the posts along each of these three sides by using silver hooks and rods. Use four more of these posts for the entranceway. Then hang on them an embroidered curtain of fine linen, 9 meters long and woven with blue, purple, and red wool. Bezalel built an altar of acacia wood for offering sacrifices. It was 2.2 meters square and 1.3 meters high, with each of its four corners sticking up like the horn of a bull, and it was completely covered with bronze. Bezalel made a large bowl and a stand out of bronze from the mirrors of the women who helped at the entrance of the sacred tent. The skilled workers got together to make the sacred tent and its linen curtains woven with blue, purple and red wool and embroidered with figures of white of winged creatures. Each of the 10 panels was 12 metres long and 2 metres wide. Bezalel built a table of acacia wood, 88 centimetres long, 44 centimetres wide and 66 centimetres high. He covered it with pure gold and put a gold edging around it with a border 75 millimetres wide. He made 4 gold rings and attached one to each of the legs. Bezalel made a lampstand of pure gold. The whole lampstand, including its decorative flowers, was made from a single piece of hammered gold, with 3 branches on each of its sides. There were 3 decorative almond blossoms on each branch. For burning incense, Bezalel made an altar of acacia wood. It was 45 centimetres square and 90 centimetres high, with each of its 4 corners sticking up like the horn of a bull. He covered it with pure gold and put a gold edging around it. Then below the edging, on opposite sides, he gathered 2 gold rings through which he put the poles for carrying the altar. Bezalel mixed the oil for dedication and the sweet-smelling spices for the incense. Bezalel built a chest of acacia wood, 110 centimetres long, 66 centimetres wide, and 66 centimetres high. He covered it inside and out with pure gold and put a gold edging around the top. He made 4 gold rings and fastened one of them to each of the 4 legs of the chest. Then he made 2 poles of acacia wood, covered them with gold, and put them through the rings so the chest could be carried by the poles. He made the mercy seat of pure gold. He made 2 cherubim of hammered gold, one for each end of the lid, forming one piece with the mercy seat. The outspread wings of the cherubim covered the mercy seat.
Then Jesus was born. The Word became flesh, and he made his tabernacle among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten Son, full of grace and truth. Emmanuel, God with us and God in us. Hebrews tells us the whole temple is a symbol of Jesus' body. His life was entirely righteous, like the white linen. He went about doing good always. He became the sacrifice. In his name, we are cleansed and baptized into a new life. We're able to enter into the holy place, which speaks of his body, the bread, his life, the light of the world. As the great high priest, he blazed the trail for us. He entered the most holy place in heaven itself with his own precious blood. And now, because of Jesus, we can approach the mercy seat or throne of grace and find our King full of grace to help us in our time of need. Only as I've been studying this have I realized that Jesus, who on earth was seen as a descendant of King David, would not have been allowed into either the holy place or the Holy of Holies. Yet his life was lived totally and continually in God's presence. He carried the very presence of God, not just on special days on a mountain, not just once a year at Yom Kippur. He is the Lord of Lords. He is the temple of God. And by the Holy Spirit, he calls us also to be his temple. This is the new covenant. We can only imagine the explosive joy and amazement when the disciples first realized the significance of this. Now we're going to play a worship song, and as we listen and watch, we want you all to be free to worship the Lord in your own way. This is his temple. You are his temple. We are his temple. This is his holy place.
Yeah, thank you, Lord, so much for all you've done for us, Father, and for these powerful images of what you've done. Thank you for your presence here with us this morning, Lord. Thank you that you've made the way that we can enter into your holy place. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. Thanks, Graham Rosemary. It was It was awesome.